Hello, this is Pete Beck III with ThirdPeter.com. Welcome to today's podcast, which is part two of my series entitled, How Can We Escape Pervasive Deception? This lesson is called The Mechanics of Deception. In my previous article, I concluded that God has given us two antidotes for the poison of deception, a map, the Bible, and a guide, the Holy Spirit. Satan uses his cleverness to pry us away from reliance upon these two gifts from God. Paul recognized this satanic strategy at work in Corinth. He wrote in 2 Corinthians 11:3, "But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." It's the New American Standard Bible. He uses philosophies and doctrines that appeal to our vanity and desire to figure things out for ourselves instead of relying upon God. Again, Paul warned about this in Colossians 2:8, where he wrote, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." New American Standard Bible. Any system of thought that denies the truthfulness of the Bible is not from God. The first thing Satan did to bring about the fall of mankind was to sow doubt into Eve's mind regarding the truthfulness of God's words. So I'm going to read to you from Genesis 3, 1 through 5, this account of what happened. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, 'Indeed, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.' The serpent said to the woman, 'You surely will not die. For God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" New American Standard Bible. In hindsight, it's easy for us to see how Satan manipulated Eve, but when it happens to us, it can be very confusing. The serpent began by asking a seemingly innocent question that subtly accused God. This put Eve on the defensive. Her recounting of God's prohibition was incorrect in that she added touching the fruit in addition to eating it as a cause of death. At this point, Satan flatly contradicted God's words and accused God of being untrustworthy in the process. Eve, for some reason, bought the lie instead of defending God. Adam was present and remained quiet, which makes him responsible too. Once Adam and Eve accepted Satan's accusation against God, it was not much of a leap to reject God's warning and evaluate the fruit using their own reasoning, which led them to take a bite. The rest is history. That one act of treachery cost our Lord Jesus his life. Satan will always cast doubt on the veracity of God's word. He encourages us to evaluate things according to our own judgment instead of relying on God's. He introduces arguments that appeal to our pride and sound convincing, but always lead to death. It is amazing to me that many people easily put their faith in the Big Bang Theory rather than in the Bible's creator. No one was there when everything we see came into being, so whatever position one takes regarding origins is a matter of faith. If a person wants to believe that everything we see came out of nothing by itself, that takes more faith than believing in a creator God. Nevertheless, spontaneous creation appeals to our pride and gives us permission to do whatever we like, since we have no one to whom we are accountable. This sin is very much like that of our first parents, isn't it? Similarly, people accept the unproven hypothesis of Darwinian evolution rather than the creation story of human origins. Once again, neither can be scientifically recreated and proven, so whichever one a person chooses to believe is a matter of faith. The appeal of such a vain philosophy is apparent. It places us on the top rung of creatures who are accountable to no one. We are gods of a sort, the best nature has come up with so far. This kind of thinking produces unwelcome consequences. Evolution leads to thinking that some races are superior or more evolved, leading to racism and genocide. Evolution produces the existentialist conclusion that there is no absolute truth. All we can know for sure is what we experience. That being the case, what really matters is a life of pleasure, power, and being fulfilled. When God's truth is rejected, it leaves us without an anchor, drifting on seas of uncertainty and confusion. That is where our nation is today. Can you think of other areas in which we have allowed the wisdom and so-called knowledge of science propagated in the world to make us despise and forsake God's word? Once we understand the mechanics of deception, it should make us even more determined to live within the framework God has given to us, using the map and the guide. We can make the decision that we will never again accept any philosophy or doctrine that denies what the Bible teaches. If we do this, it can lead us to some very important and exciting truths that can revolutionize our thinking and lives. I conclude by reading John 8:31 and 32 from the New American Standard Bible. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Thank you very much for listening, and God bless you.